Begin at verse 13 through 28. If you're able to stand, honor God's word as it's read, please do. Listen to this. It is the inspired word of God. Begin at verse 13. Zebulun will live by the seashore and become a haven for ships. His border will extend towards Sidon. Issachar is a raw-boned donkey, lying down between two saddlebags. When he sees how good is his resting place and how pleasant is his land, he will bend his shoulder to the burden and submit to forced labor. Dan will provide justice for his people as one of the tribes of Israel. Dan will be a serpent by the roadside, a viper along the path that bites the horse's heels so that its rider tumbles backward. I look for your deliverance, O Lord. Gad will be attacked by a band of raiders, but he will attack them at their heels. Asher's food will be rich. He will provide delicacies fit for a king. Naphtali is a doe set free that bears beautiful fawns. Joseph is a fruitful vine near a spring, whose branches climb over a wall. With bitterness, archers attacked him. They shot at him with hostility, but his bow remained steady, and his strong arm stayed limber because of the hand of the mighty one of Jacob, because of the shepherd, the rock of Israel, because of your father's God who helps you, because of the Almighty who blesses you, with blessings of the heavens above, blessings of the deep that lies below, blessings of the breast and womb. Your father's blessings are greater than the blessings of the ancient mountains, than the bounty of the age-old hills. Let all these rest on the head of Joseph, on the brow of the prince among his brothers. Benjamin is a ravenous wolf. In the morning he devours his prey. In the evening he divides the plunder. All these are the 12 tribes of Israel. And this is what their father said to them when he blessed them, giving each the blessing appropriate in him. This is the word of God. Will you pray with me? Oh Lord, we do thank you for your word, that it is good news. Open our ears that we might hear this good news, delight in it, rejoice in it, and give praise to you, for you're the source of it. Through Jesus we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So for the third week in a row, we come back to the lawyer's office. The last will and testament is being read. Like I said earlier, it's kind of a mixed thing. Some aren't being blessed too much. In fact, they're being cursed. But then it took a whole nother swing when it came to Judah. And real quick, we're going to see that this is to be a blessing for God's people. It's to be savored. It's to be enjoyed. So first of all, I'm going to go over the first point very quickly, because the inheritance of the remaining sons, you could break down this, and commentators are divided on what all of these things mean. There's Zebulun. It's being done basically in order of age. Zebulun's tribe is going to end up being by the sea. It will be a prosperous port. Issachar is going to have fertile land, but he's going to end up enslaved somehow. Dan is going to be one who is mighty. The most famous descendant of Dan would be Samson, who gave people victory over the Philistines. And at this point, verse 18 is, what is this? Is this replying to Dan? Hey, the commentators unite on at least one thing. When he says, I look for your deliverance, O Lord. He is pleading to God, Jacob is, for God's grace, his mercy, to be extended to himself, but as well as all of his descendants. He's kind of on a roll, but he's got to stop and go, Lord, I need you. You do it. I can't do it. And too often we forget that we are not self-made people. Self-made people will fall on their faces, but God-dependent people can make this cry and say, God, you're going to do it. And that is what he's doing. And the brothers might be, what are you doing? Dad, come on, let's keep on. There are more to go. Finish the blessing. And they know he's weak. He's probably not speaking this word super authoritatively because of the weakness. And then we know we're going to find out next week that he dies right after giving all of these blessings. And then he gets to Gad, Asher, Naphtali. They're going to enjoy prosperity in various ways. And then I'm going to skip ahead finally to Benjamin at the end, because there's going to be this break for Joseph. And he's going to be the mighty warrior. In fact, in battle, when Israel went out to fight, it would say, let's get Benjamin at the front, the tribe of Benjamin, because they were fierce, they were tenacious warriors. And so there they are. They're all being blessed. But then there's this large section on Joseph, and it's glorious. Most of the other brothers in that section are being described as wild animals. Guys don't mind being described as a wild animal. You know, we're do that. Sports teams will have those animal names sometimes. Not quite sure what a Tar Heel is, but hey, they're out of the tournament. But hey, we know what Wildcats are, don't we? Oh, I'm sorry, I should back off on that. And I'll be in the land of the Cavaliers later on today, okay? And we'll enjoy the time up there. But, you know, sports teams are going to have some animal names, and they're going to be ferocious and do whatever. I mean, you're not having too many teams called the Kitty Cats, okay? You want to be ferocious, okay? And now it changes. It's a plant. Joseph is a vine. And what about this vine? 3 points here. The first one, it's a faithful vine. It's seeing the faithfulness of God. It looks back and goes, wow, look what God has done. His two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, are going to have full shares of the blessing. It's taken away from some, and it's given to them. Wow, look at this. He's also a, quote, worldly success, as he's the number two man in Egypt. No doubt, very wealthy. Certainly, as we know, powerful. When he spoke, it happened. God had blessed him in wonderful ways. I like to see him as a Psalm 1 man. You know, we got the Proverbs 31 woman. Well, where's the male equivalent? Psalm 1. The man who's planted like a tree, really by a sure supply of water. Now, we certainly know what that's like with all the rain we've had over the past 12 months, don't we? Things grow when we don't want them to grow. You cut your grass more than you want to. Testimony of that, too much. But there it is. But there he is. He is the Psalm 1 man. He is planted there in wonderful ways. A fruitful vine near a spring whose branches climb over the wall. He just spreads out. He's having a wonderful influence, but he's also being blessed in wonderful ways because the fruit is being produced in his life. And he's rejoicing in that. Because as it happens, he's not going, look what I'm doing. He's looking what God is doing. And in our lives, we look and see what God has done. And we are to have fruitful lives that produce the fruit of the Spirit. That Christ is seen in us. And it should be seen. And the old illustration on this is, if being a Christian was a crime, would there be enough evidence to convict you? And it's ever something to be mindful of. Do people know? Do your neighbors know that you're a believer? I hope they do. That's why you can go and say, you know, I don't know what your... Easter's a pretty important thing with me. My church is having this thing. Why did you come with me? Just to understand what Easter's about. Because what do most people think of Easter's about? You got new clothes. You got bunnies. You're supposed to have ham or lamb for some reason. You know, and we're celebrating springtime. And it's a little bit more than that. And people need to know that. And we have the joy of telling them that. So here he is being a Psalm 1 man, growing, prospering, especially spiritually. And then John 15, Jesus describes himself as the true vine, and that we are the branches. We are dependent on him. We grow through him, and we rest in that. And then we make an influence in our world that we are called to be salt and light. That we really, in a very positive way, influence our society. That we're willing to stand for what is right, what is just, and to speak against what it goes against the teachings of Scripture. And then we enjoy this fruitful life. Because what happens if a tree is not fruitful? You cut it down. It's of no use. And who wants to go around saying, I'm of no use? No, we want to be of use. And that is that with God, produce your fruit in my life. And secondly, and I even changed the point on this today, so I'm really glad I didn't have everything filled in there, that he remained secure under grace and fire. That grace and fire comes from Kent Hughes, a, a pastor whose commentary I've been using, that he faced opposition. Somehow we forget what happened in Joseph's life before he came. His brothers didn't like him. They sell him into slavery. Potiphar's wife accuses him falsely of rape, and he ends up in jail. And then even after he helps two men, well, at least one of them, one met an early demise, but he told the dreams of two men, they forget about him, and he languishes in jail. And God is saying here in his word, in this blessing, you've been shot at. Bitterness, archers have attacked you. They shot you with hostility, but you remain steady because you knew you were secure in the Lord. And that is something that we can value. In this world that is chaotic, topsy-turvy, whatever term you want to use, as the choir sang, my hope rests firm in the Lord. I understand down in Wrightsville Beach, there's a lot of construction going on for some reason. It was hit by a hurricane last year, remember? And we rented a house there last summer. And you know what the house looks like right now? Or a couple weeks ago? Let me show you. That area? There it is. Because what happened? It didn't stand up too well. And it's having to be rebuilt. What's going to allow us to stand still is being rooted in the Word of God. Jesus talks about that as he closes the Sermon on the Mount out. The wise man builds his house on the rock, and he stands firm. And that is what we are called to do there. And why does he stand firm? Well, look at these words that are used to describe him. He says, you stand firm because of the mighty hand of the God of Jacob. My God has been sufficient. That holds you. What else? Your shepherd, the rock. And again, we've already talked about this several times because this image of God is used, that he is the shepherd. And he watches over his flock, his sheep. And he's there. That is why we stand secure. He is the rock. We are rooted in him, connected to him. Your Father's God helps you. He is the Almighty One. And we rest secure in that. Human security will fail you. Tales of people going bankrupt who had millions of dollars months earlier, and then for whatever reason, it disappears. Can your hope be in money? No. People can be hale and hearty, and then all of a sudden they develop a cough and go to the doctor, and they're told, not so good news. And their funeral is held a couple weeks later. It can happen that quickly and even faster. We can put our trust in whatever, and all of a sudden it's gone. You think of one of our president's advisors who ended up being charged with a crime, an honored general in the army, and all of a sudden he's disgraced because of crimes he was charged with. It can disappear just like that, a storied career, and it's gone. But what are we secure in? Something that can never be taken from us is who we are in Christ, your Father's God. The God of the covenant is faithful, and he will accomplish what he has promised. So I go back to that theme over and over again of the covenant. God makes promises, he keeps them. And one of our high callings is to look into Scripture and see those promises, claim them, hold on to them. For our God will never leave us or forsake us. And then in verses 25 and 26, what that really is saying, God will continue to be faithful. God will bless us over and over and over again because of who we are in Christ. And he will bless Joseph and the other tribes as well because the promises are made. And then I'm going to focus in. I'd love to go for 2 hours on this. The inheritance that comes from God. We have the inheritance of the other remaining sons, the inheritance that goes to Joseph, and then the inheritance that comes from God. Jacob's given blessing now to all the 12 tribes. And now he's given them to the covenant people, to his chosen people, the ones he has called to be his before the foundation of the world. And all that God has chosen to be his will be his in his appointed time. And so this very much applies to each of us who has come to faith in Jesus Christ and who even now have yet to come to faith in Christ, but will. God will work this out. It reflects his sovereign work, his character, and he will accomplish all that he has said to do. So it is very appropriate. And I would just encourage you to dig into all these passages that I list in the outline. And there are many more that I could have listed. I have many, many more. But this wonderful passage in Ephesians, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." Ultimately, we need to see that all of our blessings are found in Christ. We can look elsewhere. We do get material blessings, but ultimately, what is most important is what we find in Christ. That is there. And in fact, I might as well go to the bottom line here. At the bottom line, which is after point C in my outline, but with all of this, what do you get? You get Jesus. And you get all the blessings that are associated with Jesus. You know that song that came out probably 20 years, "Give me Jesus, give me Jesus." You know, that's all he needs. And guess what? All you need, and it sounds so simplistic, but it's true, is Jesus Christ. But the thing is, we're like, okay, I got Jesus, what else is there? No, it's here. That's all you need. And so put you back in the lawyer's office. And the lawyer opens up and goes, okay, we come to you, followers of Jesus Christ. You who have trusted that he has paid the penalty for your sins, here's what you get. Jesus. And you're going, is that all? And the lawyer would look at you and go, what else do you need but Jesus Christ? That is all you need. That is what is appropriate for you as he blesses them in those closing verses there. And then it's very personal. He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing. It's very personal. Jesus lays down his life for his sheep. He does it by name. I have called you. And the you isn't, hey, just y'all out there. It's a personal God that he knows you. And we don't know many, most of us probably don't know many famous people. I don't know many famous people except in our little PCA ghetto, and even then I don't know that many. And I met one last week, and we'd actually met 27 years ago. And he looked at me and goes, how do I know you? And I was like, well, we served on a committee 27 years ago. And he goes, no, that's not it. And I'm like, okay. And then I told him of another committee that I'd been on and one I chaired several years ago. And he goes, oh, yeah, because we had to talk about, I know, yeah, there's a little minor controversy or whatever. And yeah, he goes, that's it, yeah. But I said, well, I'm really, and I poked fun at him. I said, I'm really talking to Sam Duncan, former moderator of the PCA. And he goes, oh, go on, go on, go on. And I know he could care less about any of that stuff. I don't know many famous people. But we have a famous person whose name is above all names, who knows us by name. He knows everything about you. And the thing is, he has worked to bring you, first of all, salvation from your sins. And he has done it very intentionally. When he says he lays down his life for his sheep, it's valuable. You get a gift in the it comes up to be your birthday. Who's got a birthday? Harrison, your birthday today, understand? There you go. So all of you afterward. No, we're not going to sing happy birthday, but okay. But if he just gets cards in the mail and there's just, you know, McDonald's $10 gift certificate, I'm sure he'll use it eventually. But you know, who gave this to me? It doesn't mean that much. You know, okay, I got that. But if it's from, you know, a niece or a nephew, for whatever reason, it's been an ongoing thing, that's a special thing, right? And it's done by name. Because you get those things come to your house, dear resident. Oh, don't you just love that? We have a special personal gift for you, resident. It somehow loses its thing. But we realize how personal our God is. And I remember talking, somebody said to me, you know, I try to pray as quickly as I can. Why? Well, I know God's busy and doesn't have time for me. I said, no. Slow down. He's got all the time. And he's eternal. And we understand that. And we grab onto that. that he's called us to be his children before the foundation of the world, and that we are his. So these are very valuable things for us, because that is the inheritance that is ours. And Paul went to the Galatian church that was messed up. When he wrote to them, they were very theologically confused. What's going on? They know up from down. We got to do this to be right with God. If we do enough and do enough and do enough, then we're okay. And he's saying, no, that's not it at all. Forget. Christ, you have forgotten. Christ has fulfilled the law. You don't have to worry about that. In Christ, you are new. You are fine. And so he has to tell them. And one of my favorite passages, I think I told you this just a couple weeks ago, of the wonderful doctrine of election and preaching on that from Galatians 3 into chapter 4. And that Christ has come to redeem those under the law so they might receive the full rights as sons. And because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into your hearts. The Spirit who calls out, you know, that Holy Spirit we talked about earlier, calls out, Abba, Father, so that you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you an heir. And the inheritance is there for all who are in Christ. It is yours. And we realize it now in part, and one day we'll enjoy it fully when we are in heaven. But the riches of Christ are there for us now. And we are to enjoy it now. And then later on, Paul writes to them in chapter 4, now brothers, like Isaac, you are children of the promise. We are children of Abraham, of Isaac, of Jacob. And all of these covenantal promises that are there for us. We get to enjoy him now. And by faith in Christ, we've been adopted by our God, and we are his. And we are highly valued because of that. So I'm just going to ask you some questions. You're probably going, oh my goodness, what's he doing already? I'm being pointed for a purpose here to really make you think, though. Because I actually wrote my questions to ponder before I wrote any of the rest of the sermon. I never do that. It's one of the last things I usually do. But I wrote this first of all. And question, bottom line, is real simple. Are you an heir? Are you a part of that person that God has written in the Lamb's Book of Life, which is really effectively part of God's last will and testament? Are you an heir of those things that God has promised and is already giving to those who are his chosen people? And if not, why? Why not? Why would you want to have the junk of this world when you have the glory of Jesus Christ? You know, it's going to the all-you-can-eat buffet at the Biltmore or Grove Park and saying, wow, this is incredible. Do you see what good iceberg lettuce they have? It's so good, that's all I'm eating. In fact, I tell you, if I go there, I'm not eating any iceberg lettuce, okay? Maybe a little romaine, but no iceberg, okay? But that's what the world offers. And the problem with that iceberg lettuce, it's wilted. It's not even green anymore. Just use your imagination on that. And you're diving into it. That is what, sadly, many people are doing, instead of enjoying the blessings that are there in Christ Jesus. And then, what will you do with your inheritance? The Bible points this out to people who are given to be stewards of people. 10, 5, or 1 talent. Those with 10 go out and multiply it. Those with 5 go out and multiply it. The one with 1 goes and buries it. It doesn't even produce interest in the bank. And God has said, here is this inheritance for you. Enjoy it. Because imagine you're given an inheritance. Uncle, since I have an Uncle Bob dies, check comes. Who knows, this might happen, I don't know. My Aunt Betty, his wife died last year. So he writes me a check for $100,000. And he does it before he dies. He says, I've got so much money, which I don't think is quite the case, but for some reason, he says, Skip, I want you to have this. I've sent it to your brothers as well. What'd you do with it? Well, Uncle Bob, it's buried in my backyard. Why would you do that? He'd ask. Well, Skip, I want you to enjoy that. Do whatever you want, but enjoy it. You know, at least give some to God-honoring organizations. Give it to the Gideons. They can buy a lot of Bibles with those, okay? Give some. We'd be crazy. But here's what God has given to us, and we're like, oh, well, I don't know. No. We have life, life to the fullest, so let's live that way. Not for our own pleasure, but for the glory of God. That is what we are called to do. Because Psalm 1 points this out, you're one of two people. You're either fruitful or you're chaff, which the wind blows away. It's of no use. And who wants to be of no use? And God uses us wherever we are, at whatever age we are, to do things. In fact, if you're here, God wants you to be of some use, okay? And if he says some reason you're not of use, well, maybe he'll take you home. But while you're here, be of value. Enjoy what is ours, because this last testament has been written for us so that we can understand what is ours now in Christ and use it to the glory of God, to the building up of his church, so that our world might be transformed as we are faithful stewards of all that God has given to us. Let's pray. Oh God, we do thank you for the glorious blessings that are ours in Jesus Christ. And we've only scratched the surface here today in your word. Lord, help us to dig in, to open up your word and see throughout Scripture the wonderful blessings that are there for us. Not simply to live for ourselves, certainly not, but to live for you. So, oh God, may everyone in this church believe the wonderful glories of the gospel, that despite our sin, our Savior has come to redeem us from our sin, to give us life as our sins are forgiven and we're raised from death to life, so that we might live to your glory. So, oh Lord, open our eyes, for this is good news. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Ask the deacons to come and collect our offering for the Gideons now. We'll remain seated if you'll take out the pink insert, because our hope is found in one place alone. That is Jesus Christ. Receive his benediction from the end of Jude. To him who is able to keep you from falling and present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord before all ages, now and forevermore. Go rejoicing. He is your God, and you by faith in Christ are his. Amen.